The following message will either open your eyes to the truth or else bind you to a lie. I call my message today, Never Give Up. He never gave up. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get into the message. Lord God, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to bring forth this message. I pray, Father, that you be glorified in what is said here today. And I pray, Lord, that ears will be open and stopped to it. Unstopped to it, Lord, rather. And that, Lord, that everything that's said, Lord, will help to entice people, Lord, to want to know more about thee and how great thou art, Lord. Lord, please give me utterance. And Lord, be glorified now through what is said and done here today. For I ask and pray in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 Number one. A very dear relative of mine who knows all about the truth concerning the plan of salvation. He's even attended a Bible Baptist church, and yet he has rejected Christ as his Savior. That's a sad commentary. Number two, my own mother. She was a Baptist all her life, until the last month before she died. At that time, she relinquished her Baptist faith to join a Catholic church. Breaks my heart. Number three, my father, my own father, who witnessed firsthand my incredible conversion from Catholicism to Christianity, time after time refused to believe that his own son was pulled from the fiery furnace by the hand of God, and was truly a born-again Christian. He turned his back on salvation and committed his soul to the pit of purgatory. Breaks my heart. Number four, my first brother of the flesh, a staunch Catholic, threatened to do me great harm if I would not withdraw from my father's bedside as I wept and prayed for his salvation. Breaks my heart. And finally, number five, my second brother of the flesh, who acquired a fine living by worldly means, who, when after he had finally succumbed following several heart attacks, did receive my testimony, and he even read the Word of God. But with his own lips, he denied the true presence of a holy God. Breaks my heart. And now, I'm the only survivor. You see, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my Redeemer liveth. And when my time has come, I shall take flight to his open arms. And all the pain and suffering he had allowed me to endure will fade quickly away. And his blessed assurance becomes a reality. Five people I had so dearly loved abandoned the only hope they would ever have. And according to God's word, I will never see them again. They gave up. I imagine that most, if not all of you, are quite familiar with the most profound verse in all of Scripture. This verse relates to a dying world, the humanity of God's agape love. That verse, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. You'll find it in John 11, verse 35. John 11, verse 35. In the book of John, chapter 11, we're told the story of Lazarus' death. How that according to God's plan, is this the brother of Mary and Martha? Yes, it is. That he should become ill and die when their beloved Jesus was not present to heal their brother and save him from the grave. Let's begin reading, if you will. Follow me along in John, the book of John, chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. John chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. In verse 6, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, Jesus, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Let's go to verse 14. Verse 14, then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And verse 16. No, pardon me, verse 15. We just did that. Let's go to verse 18 and 19. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, at this point in time, Jesus is about 4 days' journey away. About 4 days' journey. Now, although he knew of Lazarus' death, because he knows everything, he waited on purpose. He waited on purpose for Lazarus' friends to arrive to pay their respects. So they could witness the resurrection of Lazarus, although they didn't know they were going to see this. But they would see it, and God the Father would be glorified. After which Jesus, in a show of great compassion and love, wept. Jesus wept. In verses 21 and 22, we see Martha's great faith and her great love for Jesus. Did Mary and Martha give up on Jesus? Oh, no. Oh, no. They were saddened. They were brokenhearted that Jesus was not there when their brother died. But you can be sure of this one thing. They never gave up. They never gave up. You see, it's impossible. It's impossible to give up on Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Once you have him, you can't get rid of him. Once you have him, you can't get rid of him. Jesus had a purpose for allowing Lazarus to experience death, a very special purpose. It wasn't a selfish purpose, but quite the opposite. First, we got to keep in mind everything that Jesus did during his ministry upon the earth, for it was to glorify his Father. This was constantly at the forefront, always with Jesus, to glorify his Father. The death and the resurrection of Lazarus would serve such a purpose. Oh, people came from all around, they did, to see what Jesus would do. I dare say that for many, their faith was sorely tested. When Jesus arrived, Lazarus had been in the grave 3 days. And Mary and Martha, well, they were in deep mourning for their brother. As they grieved, Mary said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." See how strong her faith was? Wow. If we go back to John 11, verse 4, you will read what Jesus had to say about Lazarus' condition. Let's begin in verse 3. "Therefore his sisters said unto Jesus, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Now verse 4. "When Jesus heard this, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son might be glorified thereby." Now, I said that before, but I got to emphasize that. It's so important. You see, when the Father is glorified, so too is the Son glorified. What a wonderful statement. Double the glory. Jesus always made sure that his Father got the glory. But in this case, the glory might also be shown unto the Son. Amen? Amen. Can you not see this coming about? It was always the mandate of Jesus to, first of all, glorify the Father who sent him. Glorify the Father. There were a number of reasons for all this to come about. Lazarus was well known and highly esteemed by his peers. So, of course, on hearing about his death, his peers would be certain to come forth and pay their respects, which would mean a great audience, lots of people, and at the same time, witness the power of Almighty God through the Son. Do you see it? Do you see it? Please forgive me if I sound a bit worldly in what I say next. But could one not think that God maybe orchestrated the entire sequence of events that surrounded the death of Lazarus, and especially the resurrection? I mean, put all the pieces together. God forgive me. Jesus had a very strong, and one might say, an anointed relationship with Lazarus and his family, especially Mary and Martha. In verse 5, we learn, Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And then knowing that Lazarus would become ill and die, what did he do next? He conveniently allowed himself to be absent from what was about to occur. And he was about 15 furlongs away. I mean, that's not exactly next door, folks. I leave it up to you to do the math. I leave it up to you. You know, this entire progression of events was certainly allowed of God in consolation with the Son. You can be sure they got together on this. Now, if you look at verse 17, we read, "Now when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had already lain in the grave 4 days already." 4 days already. Let's also read verses 21 and 22 and see the great faith displayed here. Verse 21. "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. My brother had not died. Verse 22. And now here is where her faith really kicks in. Listen carefully. Martha says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Wow. Is this the faith of a mustard seed? Oh, no. This is enormous faith. If only we could have such faith. Tell me something. Do you think you have that kind of faith? The kind that Martha had or has? I know that in Hebrews, the Word of God tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, my friends, if you take a good hard look at that verse, what you will see is both Mary and Martha. Both Mary and Martha. You see, faith is a real test of not only who you are, but what you are. What you are. Faith is believing that when all hope is gone, there is one mightier than you that can calm the storm. Faith is when the impossible is right before your eyes. Then the possible is still just a prayer away. Have you got that? Faith is when the impossible is right before your eyes. Then the possible is still just a prayer away. Wow. Faith is when the doctor says there's no hope. That's when you have hope. Faith truly is the substance and the evidence. I've been there, folks. I've been there many times in all my years. I've felt the hand of God on my body and in my body. I've seen my body wrapped in calloused, dying skin, my eyelids turned inside out, my entire countenance as that of a dead man, my feet swollen so badly I just wanted to stick a pin in them, and my palms, the palms of my hands, as a thick, shiny leather that cracked and bled day after day. Oh, my dear wife, God bless her. She heard my groans as I parted to a separate room. It seemed like our prayers would not be answered. But we never told God that. We never gave up on God. No, nobody tells God what to do, though. And nobody should ever give up on Him. Keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. I can't say that enough. Pray without ceasing. Sometimes God teaches us life's most important lessons by allowing us to act them out. Oh, it's easy to say, I believe. Oh, I have faith. I trust in Him. But I want to tell you, the rubber meets the road, my friends, when God steps back into the shadows and sees what your faith is really, really made of. Oh, yes. Mary and Martha had that faith. Oh, yes. They sure did. When Martha said to Jesus that if He had been there, then their dear brother Lazarus would not have died. Did she mean exactly that? If Jesus had been there, He would not have let him die? Did she? I believe that Jesus made Himself inconspicuous to allow these events to unfold, to become reality. Not only was the faith of Mary and Martha realized, but the people from all around who would come to this event would not have witnessed this great miracle if it hadn't been for the death of Lazarus. And most importantly, the praise. The praise, the honor, and the glory would have been directed only to the Son. only to the Son. Everything in this time, according to the sovereign will of Almighty God through Jesus the Son, it's in this time. In all things, give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. The key, well, the key is simply, as I said, pray without ceasing. Always be in an attitude of prayer. And if He doesn't answer, or if your prayer isn't answered, or doesn't seem to come an answer, don't stop. Don't stop. You see, it's not knowing if God can do the impossible. It's believing that He will do the impossible. Have you got that? It's not knowing He can do the impossible. It's believing that He will. Never give up on God. And I've seen a lot of people stop praying about a lot of things simply because they thought God had given up on them. God doesn't give up on any of us. I'm a testimony to that, I can tell you right now. He'd have given up on me a long time ago if I'd have just turned the tap off and said, that's it. I've asked him over and over and over and over again, but He ain't answering my prayer. Don't stop. Please don't stop. Don't give up. Don't give up. In verse 23, Jesus said to Martha, thy brother shall rise again. Thy brother shall rise again. Oh, what hope. What glorious hope He gave to her. Wow. Is this not a picture of His own resurrection and that of the saints as well? Hallelujah and praise the Lord. And look at verse 24. Verse 24, Martha thought He was talking about the rapture. Martha said unto Him, I know He shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Then if we go over to verse 27, we see Martha's great proclamation of faith. Oh, what a proclamation of faith this is. Yea, Lord, I believe Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Wow. And now we come to the part which we truly see. This is where we truly see the humanity of Jesus Christ. Verse 35. I've said it before. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Can you imagine if you were standing there in that crowd, in that audience, and you looked over and you could see Jesus' face, and you could see Him? The tears running down His face. Can you imagine that? Can you not relate to Him if you see Jesus weeping? Well, I'm sure Jesus wept a lot, especially concerning the little children. Oh, yes. You know, my mind flashes back to the Garden of Gethsemane. The night His disciples were asleep and Jesus had to wrestle with the devil. Remember the cup? The cup, He could have handed it right over to Satan, knowing the tremendous torture and the suffering that He had to endure at the cross. He could have given up on us. But He didn't. No, He didn't. And I'm so glad. And when the soldiers arrived and dragged Him before Pilate, and the terms of His release were to abandon His lordship, He opened not His mouth. He opened not His mouth. That were me, I'd be screaming my fool head off. But not Jesus. Through all the pain and torture, He never gave up. He never gave up. What if? Tell me, what if? When the crowds spat upon Him and kicked out at Him as He staggered by. What if He gave up then? What if He gave up? As I mentioned earlier, the Word of God makes it clear. We are not appointed unto wrath. That wrath which God hath appointed is not for us. We are not appointed unto wrath. That wrath that he speaks of is the wrath of the Antichrist. That's the wrath that we are not appointed unto. when the Antichrist sends his armies throughout the land to pillage and destroy all who will not bow the knee and take the mark 666, the mark that declares your soul belongs to Satan. You say you're a Christian, that you belong to Christ. You say you know by God's own word that you will not be here to face this wrath. You say you're a part of the Christian church, and you will be raptured before the devil knows you're gone. You say this wrath is only for Christ. For Christ rejectors, I mean. You say that, and you're not to be worried about it. You say you will be gone. You'll be gone. And even if it were true, you say you would never, never give up. Never. Let me tell you this. And their numbers are growing. Let me tell you. Their numbers are growing who are believing in a post-tribulation rapture. Which would mean simply this. You are appointed unto wrath. The wrath that comes out of the tribulation. Clear your minds for a moment and think, what if? What if they're right? What would you do? Where would you hide? Would it be in the mountain crevices with the Israelites? What would you do if a squadron of soldiers came to your door and demanded your allegiance to the Antichrist? Would you still hold fast to the faith that was once given to the saints? Or was your faith a faith without commitment, without substance? What would you do? Would you give up? Would you? And when the devil's men laid hands upon your children to drag them off to the guillotine, what then? Would you fall to your knees in prayer, begging for intervention from the Lord? What would you do if this were true? Would you give up? Would you take the mark? Would you take the mark, or would you hold fast to your faith in Jesus Christ? Would you think you missed the rapture? That you were not saved, but only thought you were? Of course, that would be it. Your church lied to you. They told you to say the sinner's prayer, and no matter what, your soul would be saved. But there was no change in your life. And there was no repentance. You didn't miss the rapture. You were never a part of it to begin with. Your name was never written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How many others will be faced with this same situation when the trump sounds and the voice of the archangel calls to come up hither? Will you be in that number? Will you be in that number and hear that voice that calls, come up hither? And in the twinkling of an eye, you're gone up to be with Lord in the clouds? Up to be with your Savior in the clouds? Or will the Lord call out to you? Or to his angels and say, of you, he gave up. He was so close, but he gave up. I don't know him. I never knew him. Be gone. It's up to you. It's up to you. He drew a multitude of people to see the great miracle of resurrection of Lazarus. And in so doing, he glorified his Father in heaven. And in so doing, he himself was glorified too. Jesus went through a lot just to prepare the way for those who would trust and believe in who he is, the Son of the living God, the one who went to Calvary's tree, gave up his life, suffered and died, was crucified for the sin of the whole world. And you believe, do you? Don't give up. Believe and receive. God bless you.